side by side on my piano keyboard. Oh Lord, why don't we?
What a question. Powerful question. Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney talking about the black and white on the piano, on the keyboards, side by side, living in perfect harmony. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Think about the beauty that comes through the piano, that sound that means so much to so many when they are in agreement with each other, the chords being played beautifully, melodies being played beautifully, playing in harmony. Why can't we? That's what they ask. Why can't we? We Homo sapiens, we human beings, people created in the image of the Creator. Why can't we live in harmony? Are there people who are devoted to making sure we don't live in harmony?
We all know that people are the same wherever you go. There is good and bad in everyone. We learn to live, we learn to give each other what we need to survive, together alive. Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano keyboard.
Oh, I definitely want us some. I want to hear some more of that song. What a great song. Lord, help us live together in harmony. I want you to hear Bruce Weston talking about mass incarceration.
Mass incarceration means that we've got a very high rate of incarceration historically, comparatively. And the other thing is the rate of incarceration is so high, so socially concentrated, that we're no longer incarcerating the individual, but we're incarcerating whole social groups. The rate of incarceration now is about five times higher than it was historically. Historically, it was 100 per 100,000. Now it's about 500 per 100,000 if we look at prison. If we add jail to that, it's about 700 per 100,000. Nowhere in the world incarcerates as much as we do. We've seen extremely high rates of exposure to the criminal justice system for African American men with very low levels of schooling. So if we think about black men who were born in the late 1970s and who are growing up through the American prison boom of the 1980s and the 1990s, the chances that they're going to serve time in state or federal prison if they dropped out of high school is about 70%. So going to prison for that group of black men with very low levels of schooling, that's become a normal life event. And that's really only happened in the last 10 years. We're at this point now where there's about 1.2 million African American children with a parent who's incarcerated. That's about one in nine. The research shows the kids who experience parental incarceration have diminished school achievement, they have behavioral problems, depressive symptoms, acting out. And there's also evidence that these kinds of negative effects associated with parental incarceration are concentrated more among boys than among girls. And there's a very real risk here that incarceration becomes an inherited trait. The underlying issue is we've chosen prison as a way to respond to that problem of crime. And there are a whole variety of ways that we could have chosen to respond to that problem of crime. We've chosen the response of the deprivation of liberty.
He said that there are any number of ways that we could have responded to crime. Keep in mind that there are many people who have dedicated themselves to coming up with ways to ensure that crimes will take place so that they can go about the business of locking as he mentioned, entire social groups up. Entire social groups, with the primary target being the black community. Prison. That's definitely one way that Americans could have responded to this whole issue of what's happening with regards to the black community and crime. Prison, prison, prison. Think about what's happening right now with regards to opioid use. Think about how we have so many people all across the country, political leaders and others, who are talking about how tragic it is that so many people are overdosing on opioids. How tragic that is. Where has this sense of compassion been the last many decades when it comes to users of crack cocaine and marijuana? Where people's living conditions are far worse than the living conditions of most of the people who use opioids. Isn't it interesting how we can be so selective about who we feel sorrowful for and who we don't feel sorrowful for? The many, many ills hitting the black community. Other than prison, there could have been options such as community service, mental health treatment, sex offender treatment, restorative justice instead of just punitive justice, house arrest, parole and probation. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of communities where the focus when it comes to justice is restorative justice. They want to get people into a place where, okay, there is going to be some punishment here. Justice will be meted out, but the focus is going to be to get you turned around in your attitude, your behavior, your lifestyle, so that you live a better life and you can still take advantage of opportunities of life. That's restorative justice. That could have been put into play for many, many black people as has been for so many other people. Instead of punitive justice being the number one option for the black race. Halfway houses. That could have been part of the mix, a major part of it. But instead, we have those whose greatest passion is to make life as miserable as possible for this social group. Established to begin with. All right, let's hear some more on this issue of mass incarceration.
Problem of crime, and there are a whole variety of ways that we could have chosen to respond to that problem of crime. We've chosen the response of the deprivation of liberty, and we've chosen the response of the deprivation of liberty for a historically aggrieved group whose liberty in the United States was never firmly established to begin with.
Think about the disadvantage, which of course is a truly, truly an understatement when it comes to black people brought over from Africa for the purpose of being thrown into slavery, where the plan was to have that system of slavery in place forever, for as long as there was in America, slavery. And you've watched 13th, which has to do with the 13th Amendment and other programs that make it clear that just as there were many, many people who were committed to perpetuating slavery during the days of all the transportation of Africans from Africa and some of the islands to America by ship for the purpose of being enslaved, there are many, many people who over the many decades have remained committed to to perpetuating slavery, although in different forms. I really encourage you to watch 13th. That's it, 13th. Because it is eye-opening, truly eye-opening. All right, we're going to hear from some more people talking about the problem of race or the issue of race in America. I'm going to share with you some more of what Barrett discovered during some of his world travels. We're talking about race from several views.